The title of today's message is I Didn't See It Coming. And that was the last thing that Goliath said, wasn't it? Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to read from the Old Testament. We're going to read from a book. Perhaps you're not familiar with it. It's the old book of 2 Chronicles. And we use the screens here, but you can follow us in your own Bible if you wish. 2 Chronicles. And what we're looking at is a story. So, you know, I love the Old Testament stories, certainly most of them. And for me, this is one of the iconic stories of the Old Testament, rich in lots of spiritual lessons. And so as born-again Christians, we need to understand we've got two parts to our Bible. You know, we learn about Jesus. We're New Testament people. That we're children of the covenant that's found in the New Testament. And that's a little bit of what Fritz was talking about. But the Old Testament is packed with principles, real-life stories that we can learn lessons from and apply to our lives today. Amen? And this is one of them. So I'm reading it. Here we go. It says 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. The armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Monites declared war on King Jehoshaphat. Now there's a great name to call you, child. Messengers came and told King Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Sometimes in life, problems come that you never saw coming. Sometimes problems come that you never saw coming. In life, sometimes bad things can happen that you never expected to happen to you. And this is what this story really is all about. This story in the Old Testament, this is what it's about. And that's why we're looking at it today. Just a little bit of background. Jehoshaphat is the king of the tiny nation of Judah. And he is a devoted follower of Almighty God, just like you are all here today. We're devoted followers of Almighty God. Jehoshaphat really was a good man. He lived right, and he did his best to encourage his people to follow the Lord. This is really important to understand the kind of guy he was. And then God responded by blessing Jehoshaphat and this little tiny nation of Judah. And so life was good for them. And the little nation prospered under the favor of God. The capital city of Judah was Jerusalem. And that's where the temple of God was located, in Jerusalem. And so the ancient temple that was built by King Solomon represented the presence of God. So King Jehoshaphat lived under the blessing of God, and he lived under the presence of God. That's important to remember too. And that's a good place to live. Amen. I recommend we all live under the blessing of God and the presence of God. Amen. Nonetheless, nevertheless, one day messengers came and informed Jehoshaphat that an alliance of three huge armies were marching into Judah, and they were headed for the capital city. They were headed for Jerusalem. They were headed for the temple. And most disturbingly, this huge marauding army was already at a place called En-Gedi. And that was such bad news. Because En-Gedi was a town within Judah's territory. And so that news meant that the enemy army had already breached the borders of the land of Judah. They were here. They weren't just coming. They were here. And it meant then that villages were being raided. They were being looted. And that people, the king's people, These people were being killed and families were being destroyed. That's what was happening. So by the time the messengers brought the news to Jehoshaphat, tremendous damage had already been done to Judah. And Jehoshaphat was just terrified by the news that he received. But to add pain to the frightening situation that was engulfing the land of Judah was the fact that Jehoshaphat simply did not see this problem coming. It was unexpected. It kind of came out of nowhere. And so Jehoshaphat, he was just caught unawares and he was caught unprepared. He wasn't prepared for this. He probably was unprepared for this catastrophe because he presumed that since he was doing everything right, because he was a devoted follower of Almighty God, and he was, then the problems that came to other nations would not come to him and his tiny little nation. And we can have that same mistaken mindset today as Christians. Many of us, we become shocked and our faith can be rocked when we get struck down by a severe problem that we just never expected. We just never saw it coming to us and to our family. And then, you know, we rationalize as Christians that bad things happen only to other people, but not to me. And they happen to other people because, well, they don't believe in God. They're living badly. Or, hey, they made a bad choice as a consequence. But we consider ourselves exempt from severe trouble because we believe in God. I'm a Christian. We belong to God. God is good to me. We pray, we tithe, and we mistakenly expect some immunity from the severe problems of life. Everybody still with me? So it's actually going to get better in a few moments, okay? Some of you are starting to have sweat running down your brow. But what I'm saying is true. And we therefore get shaken up when out of nowhere we get hit by severe circumstances that we just simply didn't see coming our way. For example, no one gets married expecting that they'll end up having a divorce. Why would you get married in the first place if that's what you expect? Nobody gets married expecting they'll get divorced. But I know many godly Christian people, good people, who love Jesus, but they've had their hearts broken through the breakdown of their marriage. And they never wanted that to happen. Of course not. And they never thought it would happen. But it did. It did. No one ever expects that their tiny little baby will grow up to be a rat bag drug addict. Nobody wants that for their kids. But there are outstanding parents who do their best. They give their best to bring up their child in love and wisdom. They do all of that. And yet for some reason, their child grows and then beyond the parents' control, they choose to be rebellious. And they start running with the wrong crowd and they end up doing drugs. And the parents, they're brokenhearted, devastated, blaming themselves. It wasn't their fault. Their hearts are filled with pain. And they had it all worked out that if they're good parents, then their child will be good too. They just never saw that kind of trouble coming to their family. No one ever expects that they will get a life-threatening illness. But we've all got friends who love Jesus deeply, but they've been struck with cancer or some other evil disease that they just didn't see coming, but that's what happened. And I want to say this and make this really clear. It's really important. I'm not suggesting anybody's doing this, but this is how it works here. It's really important that we do not judge people by their problems and circumstances. Seriously. That's a very bad thing and a very shallow thing to do to another person.
Amen.
See, King Jehoshaphat, he was one of the best kings of Judah. He was a good guy. He was deeply loved by God, absolutely. He was a man of outstanding character. But he still ended up with a situation that he just didn't see coming. And it could happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. It's still going to get better. Amen. King Jehoshaphat had simply forgotten. He just made just one tiny little mistake. He forgot that he was surrounded by wicked and evil nations who were hell-bent on destroying him and Judah. Jehoshaphat, you see, he was so blessed as he lived under the favor of God that he forgot that he was still living with enemies who wanted him gone. In the same way, even though we belong to Jesus Christ, and thank God that we belong to Jesus Christ, and one rapture, and we're all out of here anyway, amen. We're going to be with Jesus. And we're deeply loved by God, absolutely. But we're still living in a fallen world, and we're living in enemy territory. You've got to remember that. We're not in heaven yet. Gosnells might be a good place, but it's not heaven. Amen. The Bible says this, 1 John 5 verse 19. We know that we are children of God. Amen. and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus said, here on earth you will have some trials. Says many, doesn't it? Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Who's standing on that word from God today? No, put you don't want to have many trials and sorrows. but Jesus then said, "But take heart, because I've overcome the world." Amen. And this is the thing: as far as the world is concerned, we are the odd ones out. Actually, as far as the world's concerned, we're just plain odd. We're plain odd. We don't fit. And neither did Jesus fit into the world. And like Jesus, we Christians do not belong. We don't belong to this fallen world. We're just pilgrims passing through. We are light invading darkness. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And the devil wants us out. He wants us out of this city of Gosnells. He wants us out. He doesn't want us spreading the gospel that makes people right with Almighty God. And so he attempts to take us out if he can. And he will use any means and every means to crush your faith. He will try and destroy your marriage. You know, we've got to fight for our marriages. Come on. Fight for your marriage. He will try and crush your kids. He will try and make you sick. Whatever it takes to crush your faith, the devil will try. And not just with stuff like that. If that doesn't work, then he'll try and use a temptation to pull you away from Jesus. That's what he does. So if you are wounded by a situation that you did not see coming, then you're just not on your own. Because we all get caught from time to time with things that are unfair and that we didn't see coming. You know. But it's what we do next that is critical to our spiritual survival. So what did Jehoshaphat do? Well, the Bible says, next few verses, Jehoshaphat was terrified. And that's okay, you know. He was terrified by this news. And he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. So Jehoshaphat was understandably terrified. I would have been too. He was alarmed. That's understandable. And he had all his emotions going on. And that's okay, because we're human. That's what humans do, right? But in the middle of his fretting, Jehoshaphat moved towards God and not away from God. This is the most important line in this whole message. In the middle of trouble, in the middle of his fretting, Jehoshaphat moved towards God and not away from God. He moved towards God, not away from God. He did not move towards self-pity. Why me? Why has all this trouble happened to me? He didn't go there. He moved towards God. And he didn't move towards cynicism. Oh, this doesn't work anymore. No, he didn't go there. He moved towards God, not away from God. Self-pity and cynicism, they're two dangerous enemies that you don't want to make friends with. Jehoshaphat begged the Lord for guidance. He ordered everyone to begin fasting. And that simply means that he got everyone to humble themselves before God. And the people all came together to seek the Lord's help. Then on behalf of all the people, Jehoshaphat prayed to God about this situation. And he finished with his prayer with these words to God. Here we go. He said this: "We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us." I love this next sentence because it's a classic. "We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. I really like this guy. Jehoshaphat did not pretend that he was stronger or better than what he was. He got rid of his mask. He didn't try to be a super spiritual person in front of the crowd there who gathered. Rather, what he did is he humbly admitted to God that he had no idea on how to handle this huge threat to his nation's survival. He freely admitted that he had no control over this looming disaster. He was the king. He was meant to know what to do. He was meant to have control. This was a big deal that he humbled himself before God and said, "I don't know what to do." And in the same way, we don't have to pretend we are super spiritual people who always have it together. We don't have it together. That's why we need a Savior. If we had it together, we wouldn't need a Savior. We don't have it together, and we need our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't know what to do, but He knows what to do. So we can be real and authentic with God and humbly admit we don't know, always know what we're doing. But we do know this: we need His help and we need His strength. And we know, don't we, brothers and sisters, from the Bible that God always gently and kindly, because God is kind, He always kindly responds to the humble heart that trusts in Him even when their world is being shaken apart. And God responded to Jehoshaphat, and this is what happened on the screen. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there, and he said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says: do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then look at this next sentence. "Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very quiet shout." With a very loud shout. Wow. They were Pentecostal back then. Amen. Amen. So in response to the humble prayer of Jehoshaphat, God stirred the heart of a prophet to prophesy a word from God. And brothers and sisters, there is power in a word from God. It was a wonderful word of encouragement where God said to Jehoshaphat and all the people, the battle is not yours, but God's. Then the king, in response, and the people bowed down in worship and praise to God. They received a word of encouragement, and they bowed down in worship and praise to God. It's interesting to remember that at the same time, while that was all happening, and while the king was being encouraged, and while he was worshiping and praising the Lord, remember at the same time, the three evil armies were still marching towards Jerusalem, looting, pillaging the Judean villages along the way, and pain and suffering were still occurring in Judah. Judah was still being hammered. The problem and the pain had not gone away. But Jehoshaphat and the people worshipped anyway in the middle of the pain. Jehoshaphat took his eyes off the problem and he looked for God instead. And he found God in that terrible time of threat and calamity. You can find God in unexpected places. Now, we all know that heartaches and wounds of the heart never completely go away. If you've had a loss, the heartache will never go away. It's part of being a human being. It's how God's made us. We also know that some situations in life get resolved and some don't. We also know that some prayers get answered really, really quick and some prayers may take decades before they're answered. Nonetheless, in spite of all this complexity of the Christian experience, just as Jehoshaphat found God in the middle of his calamity, so you and I can find God in the middle of our calamities and in the middle of our time of loss and heartache. When the storm is raging, Jesus Christ is still with you in the middle of the storm. This is what the scriptures say. Do not be afraid. This is for us. For I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. So when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So if you get hit by a situation that you never saw coming, then be like Jehoshaphat and run to God and you will find God. And while the storm continues to rage, you will be comforted. You will be strengthened. You will be encouraged and you will be lifted up by Almighty God. And strangely enough, some of my own best times of growing in my faith in God and knowing God is when I've actually had my back to the wall and I haven't known what to do. And it's in those tough and frightening times that you discover the faithfulness of Almighty God. So look for God. Look for God. No matter what you're going through, look for God in that unexpected place. However, the sermon's about to turn now. Amen. Amen. However, the devil does not have the monopoly on bringing things into your life that you did not see coming. It's true that the devil may bring unexpected problems into our lives. Yes, it's true. However, it's also true that Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, brings undeserved and unexpected blessings. God brings favor, He brings grace, He brings treasure into our lives as well. In obedience to the word from God, King Jehoshaphat and his army ended up going out to meet these three evil armies that had come to fight them. By now, it was really dire. These three armies were very close to Jerusalem before they were confronted. The situation was desperate. Yet Jehoshaphat trusted in the word of God that said, "For the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's, God's." So Jehoshaphat put the singers in front of his own army to worship as they went out to confront the enemy's armies. However, as the singers started to worship and started to praise the Lord, something supernatural happened in the realm of the spirit. God caused confusion in the enemy's camp, and the three armies started fighting amongst themselves, and they actually wiped each other out because there's power in praise and there's power in worship. So when King Jehoshaphat and his army and singers reached the location of the enemy soldiers, they only found dead bodies. They didn't have to fight anybody. God had given them the victory. So instead of having to fight, they plundered the enemy's camp. They took all the silver and gold and money and clothes that the enemy had gathered from other conquests in other lands. In fact, there was so much plunder that it took the whole army 3 days to collect all of the plunder. Judah had been plundered. They had suffered loss, but now the tables were turned and they were doing the plundering themselves. They went from being the plundered to the plunderer. I'll say it again, I like that. That's my fancy line today. They went from being the plundered to the plunderer. I'd rather be the plunderer than the plundered. Who's sick and tired of being plundered? Well, God's going to turn your tables and you'll go from being plundered to being the plunderer. Praise God. Amen. And God turned the battlefield into a place of provision and blessing. Only God can do that. Turn a battlefield into a place of provision and blessing. In fact, King Jehoshaphat called the place where the enemy's camp was the Valley of Blessing. Wow. And in conclusion, so all the king's soldiers marched back to Jerusalem carrying all that provision and blessing. And as they rejoiced at what God had done for them, I strongly suspect, I can't prove it, but I think it's true. I strongly suspect that someone looked at the victory. They looked at the treasure they were carrying home. And then they said to a smiling King Jehoshaphat, "Well, I didn't see that victory coming." Amen. I started this message by saying, sometimes problems come that you never saw coming. Some bad things can happen that you never expected to happen to you. Well, that's true, absolutely. But it's also true that God is with you in all of those difficult times. And it's also true that God is going to keep ambushing you with more grace, more victory, more favor, more blessings, more breakthrough in Jesus' name, more than you ever expected to come your way. That is why, no matter what is going on in your life or my life, we can say with the hymn writer, "It is well with my soul." Come on, let's stand at our feet. Come on, everybody. And I want to finish with this. On that day, when we stand before Jesus Christ and hear Him say, listen, when He says to you, "Welcome home, my child," I'm sure that we will all say in response to the sight of Jesus and the sight of heaven, "Well, I didn't see this coming." Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand.